as kind of a picking up where Brother Davey left off, who walked not after the flesh, but after the Spirit of God. It was interesting. If you listen to the songs we sang first thing this morning, we sang a song, "This is the day that the Lord has made." We sang a song, "Build Your House on the Rock." And there's a third. What was the other one? That was the third. What was the second one then?
This is the day.
Come, that's right. Come, now is the time to worship. It's interesting. In each of those songs, and if you look at it, it's in each of those songs, it comes down to a decision you have to make that nobody can make for you. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Many days, what I see is it seems like people just kind of, I don't know how to describe it. They seem to get through a day. The day kind of overtakes and dictates to them rather than them embracing the Lord in that day. During the conference, I think it was Brother Davey who brought it up, maybe right at the beginning of the conference. He brought up that scripture over in Romans 8:28, or it came up periodically where it says... Actually, I'll read it just so I get it correct, because otherwise I'm likely to get it wrong. But it says, and we know. First of all, that's a decision to know a thing. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Isn't that a lot of what he was just talking about? God's purpose rather than our purpose. And knowing a thing, we know that all things work together to good, is a place of standing in faith in the Lord and his ability to work in and through the things that are going on in your life. And see, when you embrace that, when you decide to embrace that, whether it be this is the day that the Lord hath made and determining that, you know what? Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Jesus, for this day. I submit myself unto you, Lord, this day and all that you have in this day for me. And you bring yourself under subjection to him, which is what it is to be one with him, right? You come under subjection to him, not trying to pull him along to what you want to do. What you find is all of a sudden you're not walking after the flesh, but you're walking after the Spirit of God, and there is no condemnation. The stuff of your past that would hold you back from going forward and doing what the Lord would have you today, all of a sudden doesn't hold you back any longer. In fact, you're not even thinking about it. The people, the things that are set before you, by contrast, the things that are before you, that's what you're focused on. And because that's what you're focused on in the Lord, he opens up unto you what to do in those situations. But you have to embrace. You have to decide to go forward. I know as an attorney, I'll just give you a small example. As an attorney, you know, people always come to me and they're coming to me and they got some problem. And of course, before they start speaking to me, I have no idea what their problem is. And as they start speaking to me, their problem usually gets pretty daggone complicated. And you're thinking like, oh my God, how do we deal with this situation? But what I've learned over the years in the Lord is it's an amazing thing. If I'll sit back and I'll listen and I will pray and I'll seek him in the midst of the meeting, mind you. I'm not talking about listening to them and then going back. I'm talking about while I'm actually talking with the person and they're telling me their story. It's amazing how the Lord will begin showing me the way out. It's like it begins immediately. It's an amazing thing. And if they will follow that way out as I lay it out to them, it's amazing how things turn around. I mean, I know, Corey, you found that. And I wasn't even your lawyer in the thing, but you found the Lord, at every step, once you decided to go forward in this, the Lord provided a mighty deliverance to you. And one of the keys in there was, kind of like the guy who was the ship's captain, is, all right, you want God to do this for you. What are you going to do for him? Right? Are you going to dedicate your life to Him? Are you going to submit yourself unto Him? And Corey, while we were out there in South Carolina, not while we were out here at the ranch still, but while we were in South Carolina, after making a great impression on everybody upon his arrival, made that decision. And by the time he left, you know what? People had a very different opinion of Corey. And they were sad to see him go. He had been a blessing to them. But that element, I just want you to know, the choice is yours. Come. Now is the time to worship. When you come in here and we have this team up here and they start leading you in worship, right? Isn't that what it is? They're leading you in worship. Do you follow? Do you come? Do you embrace that promise of God that He inhabits the praises of His people? Do you get yourself focused in that place and determine you're not going to be left behind in any good thing that He has for you? And you, no matter what it was that was going on before you got into that place, you are going to give yourself wholly, that means 100% fully, unto joining in that worship? Or are you going to go through the motions, which is kind of just making it through the day, versus determining to join, to come, just as you are, to worship? And then what was that third song you sang?
Build
your house on the rock. That's right. Build your house on the rock. Jesus is the rock. Amen. And this book that we have called the Bible is Jesus in written form. It's the manual for our life in Him. So when you build your house on the rock, you determine to follow what He says here. It says, trust in the Lord. So you determine to trust. You know what? You don't ever get tried in trust when everything's going the way you want it to go. The time you get tried in trust is when everything's going away you think really stinks and you don't understand at all and are pretty pissed about it, frankly. That's when the rubber hits the road as to whether you're going to trust God or not. It doesn't hit the road when everything's going your way. It hits the road when everything seems to be coming unraveled and not going your way at all. And how is this going to work out? Refer back to Romans 8:28, right? Which we read. We trust that we know that all things work together to good to them who love the Lord and are the called according to His purpose. And see, if you're going to learn those things and you're going to get into line with His purpose rather than your purpose, you come to that place in the midst where you surrender and you go, all right, Lord, what can I do for You now? What is it that You would have me do now? And the beauty of the Lord, and this is where you find out that it's no formula, there's no formula that can work these things out. Just give you a small example from this past weekend, well, these last couple days. You know, leading up to the convention and then through the convention and even during the convention, I mentioned how I don't get to spend much time with my family. And I love my family, and I love spending time with them. And one of the things as a father, I know I look back at is the last thing I want my children to ever find is that I'm not available to them. I want God to be available to me, right? When I need something, I want my children to know I'm available to them. At the same time, I can't be with them all the time. If I were with them all the time, I wouldn't be able to do that which the Lord has for me to do. Praise God, He's given me a wife who in my stead is able to do many things that I'm not there to do myself, and other things I would never have even thought of, which are also a blessing, praise God. And so she's there. But the Lord this weekend gave us I knew my son really wanted to go up to see Carlsbad Cabin. And I was, in myself, frankly, somewhat conflicted about it, honestly, in different ways. I mean, I love doing that kind of stuff. Don't get me wrong. Anybody who knows me knows I love doing that kind of stuff, right? I mean, that's like, yeah, it's just, I love doing it. But I don't love doing that more than I love serving the Lord and also being an example to others, including each of you guys who are here before me tonight, I mean this morning. And so the, I was conflicted. I mean, is this something that would be of the Lord? And frankly, I was conflicted all the way up to the point where we left. But before we left, it was interesting. I prayed a simple prayer. I think I prayed it with my children. You guys will remember. We prayed it again yesterday, which was I submitted ourselves unto the Lord and asked that the Lord would move mightily through us, both in ministering to one another and others, but also in receiving that which he had for us, that the fullness of the blessing he had for us to partake of, both in giving and receiving, would be accomplished. And I'll tell you what, I mean, it was really, every aspect of that trip exceeded my expectations. It was wonderful. And we had a wonderful time. Now, don't get me wrong, I gave my children, they went to eat breakfast with me, and they ate too much sugar, and they were pretty, oh my God. I was like, oh my God, did I make a big mistake? Lord, forgive me. I mean, they were like, they were just bad. You know, I mean, if I could have thrown them in the velt, you know, some kind of room and just put pads on them and let them run around and bang into one another for 2.5 hours, it would have been, probably been perfect, but I didn't have such a thing handy. So I had to call them up short, each of them, on a few occasions as we were getting things in order to be able to go forward in him. And you know what? That's part of my job. It's something that needs to be done. And it's something that needs to be established for their sakes. So even that, with them bouncing off the walls and everything, was a part of the blessing the Lord had for us in it. And we had a great time, didn't we? Except for when Joe was moaning and groaning. There was this little part he was moaning and groaning. And then Joe, when he's moaning and groaning, it's like his whole stature just slumps. And it's like an effort. But the Lord didn't let it go on for but 5 minutes till he heard water running and ran forward to the spring and had a great time there. But, you know, I share this because if you want to serve the Lord, if you want to walk in the fullness of his blessings, that's the choice you make. And if you will make that choice and you will determine that that's what you're going to go after and do, I'll tell you what, you're going to do it. And if you're not doing it, don't look to anybody else. I don't want to hear it. And this is what people do. They, you know, well, I could do that if, or I could do this, but, you got to get that stuff right out of your vocabulary. You just got to get that completely out of your vocabulary. Every excuse. One thing I learned before I ever knew the Lord, and it's proven true as a Christian, every excuse you make is pretty much a self-fulfilling prophecy. That's exactly what's going to happen. Especially when you announce it. Yeah, you announce it. You think the devil's like not paying attention? You know, he's not paying attention. So you announce that this weakness or this area. So what happens as you go forward? It just seems like, that's exactly what I thought was going to happen. I didn't think I'd have the strength to do this. I didn't think I'd have that to do it. I'm not smart enough. Whatever it is you come up with, all of a sudden that's exactly what happens. And then you go home dejected, sad, and miserable. When none of that had to happen, it happened because you gave it place to happen. And then you just think people don't understand. And it gets more miserable as you do that because now, of course, there's no way out. Well, doesn't the scripture say, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me? All right, what are you going to believe? You're going to believe the nonsense stupidity that has kept you in bondage and depression and every other thing? Or are you going to believe Jesus Christ? If you're going to believe Jesus Christ, then believe him and get on with it. And right today, right now, right where you are before you depart from this place, you can choose to believe Jesus. Amen. And to let the nonsense go. And you do that, he'll honor it, and he'll bless you, and he'll guide and direct and keep you. And as that happens, that guidance and direction sometimes comes in the form of somebody like me or somebody like Davey or somebody else that the Lord may use to show you, give you a little guidance and direction. When you need guidance and direction, it usually means that the direction and guidance you were following was the wrong guidance and direction. Oh, well, it happens. So you yield to the new guidance and direction. It's all it is. It's all it is. It's not a big deal. It's not some great mystery. And as you yield to that, the Lord will bless you in it. And as you get blessed in it, you want more of that. Praise God. Don't we want more of Jesus in our lives?
Amen.
So if we want that, get over yourself. Get over the past stupidities. Get over your wrongness. Hello? Is there any, if we were always right, would Jesus have had to die?
No.
Absolutely not. So, praise God. We're stupid. Why do you think he calls us sheep? Sheep aren't the smartest animals in the animal kingdom. But the one thing they know how to do is follow their shepherd. That's all we need to know how to do. Amen.